to AWARE. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware. Good afternoon. Welcome to the AWARE Show. This is Lisa Garr. Great to be with you guys this afternoon. Dr. Reverend Michael Beckwith, who's joining me in studio right here in front of my very eyes.
Here we are.
You know, I was saying to him, can I still interview you like I have been for 10 years? Because you've been on Oprah and done Larry King and this whole thing. And are you still the same guy? Are you still the same Michael Beckwith?
Well, you know, everybody's growing. But yeah. I'm the same person, just that more people know about me.
Right. But I've no doubt your life has changed a lot. It's shifted a lot since then, hasn't it?
It's become, it was already intense, and it was already full of divine activity, and now it's increased. And so now there's more things that come at me in terms of, for me to respond to, in terms of appearances and speaking and being a part of projects and things of that particular nature.
But how do you handle that now? Because people still come at you with all these things that they think, you know, well, he's a spiritual guy. He's going to want to give his time and all of that stuff. But you have also an empire now that is behind you with all of that is involved with your international travel and all of your organizations and so forth. How do you manage both of those?
Well, I don't see it as two different things. I just we're in a learning curve. It's a work of art in progress.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking for and at the priorities, determining what the priorities are, and doing the best that I can in every given moment. So I still, today, I'll still drop by somebody's home to see them,
good,
which I did last week and a couple of times, and I'm still will speak on international panels or fly and do, Ricky and I will fly and do programs around the world. Still make it back in time to do the services on Sunday and our Wednesdays.
I still
teach classes
amazing.
At Agape.
Yeah, that
so
is amazing.
It's just fortunately I'm in really tip-top health, got a lot of energy, a lot
yeah.
of vitality, so it doesn't feel like I have a lack of energy or anything like that. It's just more to be accomplished. And I always live from the awareness that, you know, when I leave the planet, I want everything to be better because I came through, and I don't want to leave anything in me that I could have given, you know?
You don't. I mean, you're always expanding in the moment that you're in, aren't you? You're fully present in this moment. I can tell that right here with me. You're really listening to everything I say. You don't space out, think about the next thing you have to do.
I think that's the key.
I'm noticing that.
Yeah, the key is if you are where you are, if you are where your body is, you know, with what you have to do, then you keep giving the next moment its full attention, then this next moment its full attention. So if I'm speaking to somebody in the hallway, then I'm speaking to that person, even if it's 30 seconds, then the next moment I may be on stage speaking, and then I'm fully present for that.
Ah.
It doesn't mean that there's not an awareness that there is other things to do in the course of the day, that there is a calendar, there are things
right.
that have to be done. But if an individual can play full out,
mm-hmm.
without an attachment to the outcome, and do everything as if it was the big thing.
Oh, that's the key.
It's
without
really sweet.
An attachment to the outcome.
Yeah.
That's the key for me, what I just heard you say. That's the key without being attached to the outcome. Yeah, the things stack up back to back to back, and I still also have, I mean, also, I will always have the child in my mind, too, my daughter, who is
oh, yeah.
always.
That's the dimension of your incarnation, your mother.
Yes.
As well as
yeah.
a radio host.
Yeah.
I mean, these are dimensions of incarnations, and you have to honor all your incarnations.
And just being in the moment and being present and moving through life that way, that's just perfect timing for you.
What I think is that individuals, and Ricky and I talk about this frequently, individuals are waiting for, like, the big thing to happen.
Mm.
They want some big thing to take place in their life, or they're working on some big mega project. And actually, it's the real small things that you do every single day, but you put your big heart into it. that ultimately generates enough energy so that you're making more and more impact in the world.
Yeah, that's a great point, because they also, when you say that big project, you're saying it's outside of yourself, too.
Right.
And it's what you do every day that makes that project huge.
Absolutely.
The day or the minute that it happens is the combination of all the moments up until then. So
yes.
If you think about it, you're always in that big project.
Right.
I'm in the big project right now.
Right now. You know,
yeah.
Who knows what's going to come out of this conversation?
Right.
Who's listening to this right now?
Yes.
That may be sparked to do something or be a part of something that we're about.
That's the, yes, and that's the beauty of, and I thank you so much for being here, too, in person in the studio, because there's 20,000 people that listen to this show, and as they're driving around, they get different bits of information as to whatever it is that they need, and that's one of the intentions underlying in this show with the guidance of spirit, is it goes out to the people, and that is my meditation, is it goes out to the people that need it as they need it at any time and point during the show that they need it, and then these little seeds get planted.
Absolutely.
You can see it?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah.
You do the same thing, huh?
Absolutely. I'm sure you get emails.
Yeah.
People saying, you know, when so-and-so said that one sentence, it really shifted my perspective and
yeah.
changed my course of action.
I also, you know, sometimes I also get the negative emails saying, you know, how could you have said such and such? And, it, you know, that comes once every, you know, month, 5 months. But it does still happen. And sometimes that gets me in the heart because I'm here of service and being of service all the time. How do you deal with that?
Well, the miracle that happens is you grow to a certain place where you look at praise and criticism exactly the same. There's no difference.
Explain that.
Well, you get to the point where you're actually working for the energy, and you're working for the presence, and you're working for the gifts and the talents that want to come through. So you're not working for people. So you're not working for their praise, or you're not trying to run away from their criticism. So if praise comes, it's a sweet thing, beautiful, thank you very much. If criticism comes, beautiful, thank you very much. You listen to it. If it's any validity there, you take it, you grow with it. And the praise, you don't let it swell your head.
Mm-hmm.
So I call that a miracle when that happens, when you can look at both of the imposters the same, because they're called imposters. Praise and criticism are the imposters, because it's your ego looking for something from people, where in fact your courage and your self-confidence, your love, all of that is coming from your contact with the universal one.
So you, once again, you detach yourself from the outcome. It kind of goes back to what you were saying earlier.
It's non-attached. It's not detached. It's
non-attached.
There's a difference in spiritual growth. You don't want to be detached. Detachment is apathy, lethargy, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Non-attachment is I play full out, but I'm not attached to an outcome. Detachment is... Yeah, I've been hurt, therefore I'm not going to be back in the game anymore. Somebody hurt me, I'm not going to ever have a relationship. That's becoming detached. Non-attachment is I'm playing full out to the best of my ability, but I'm not attached to the outcome.
That's more of an expansive conversation, too. That has vastness behind
it.
Oh,
my God, yes.
The other one is very limiting.
Yes.
And actually has a ceiling on it,
yes.
A lot of ceiling on it. So we're talking about, you know, a little bit about how to cope with a busy lifestyle and what you do. What about when you travel around the country and you travel around the world and you see how the economy is affecting various people who are in much dire situations and much more than we're talking about right now with having a busy lifestyle. I'm talking about the polar opposite of not having a lifestyle, not having a way to make ends meet at all. How do you go into those types of communities or reach those types of people and tell them there is possibility here?
Right. Well, everybody shows up when we go out to speak, from those individuals who are near destitute and are barely holding on financially to people who are very well off financially. And we're not necessarily talking about a lifestyle. We're talking about a way of life. Those are two different things.
Okay.
And so basically what I'm encouraging individuals to do is to have a certain way of life. And that's a spiritual practice. However, when you look at the contracting economy and how it's affected people, you look at an immature economic system. It's an immature economic system at best. You're never going to be able to bail it out. It just won't ever happen because it's built upon a diminishing resource called oil. So the energy is always going to fluctuate the prices of things and things of that particular nature. But regardless of that, apple trees are still doing apples. Grass is still growing. Nothing has changed in the universe at all. There's not one thing that has changed in the fundamental order of what's really happening. So what I help people do is to get in touch with that and then comes inspiration, guidance, direction, and action. That means regardless of a failing economic system, regardless of what looks like limited opportunities, there are infinite opportunities, infinite possibilities, but the individual has to take responsibility for seeing it and being prepared to meet the demand that the universe is giving them. In other words, recession reveals resourcefulness.
Mm.
That when there's a recession, it's creating the condition for us to be more resourceful than we've ever been before in our life. Not depending upon a government, not depending upon authority outside of ourselves, not depending upon the big they to do something about it. But everyone here is born with a genius code that when activated, it will feed them, it will take care of them, it will provide the context for creativity, livelihood, you know. So it means people have to grow, stop making excuses, take responsibility for their life, and move forward. And so I go out and seek to teach along those lines and inspire people along that line.
You know, you said something very, very valuable there amongst all of you. You said that the fluctuations will always be, and that is a constant, isn't it? They are always going to fluctuate. Our economy always will fluctuate.
The economy is it's
so
immature.
Expected almost.
It's immature. It's built in. People know it's going to happen. You know, I mean, you look at it when you just, I mean, Economy 101, you know, it's fueled by the oil. Oil is a diminishing resource. So your oil basically determines the price of things. It's because you need energy to produce all the commodities. So that's always going to create, and since it's a non-renewable resource, the economy is always going to have holes in it. However, you're living in a day and a time where you're now dealing with solar,
soy.
Global, yeah. You know, you're dealing with the tides, you're dealing with wind, you're dealing with other things are starting to emerge. So when that takes the place of oil, now you're talking about an economic system that's built upon a renewable resource that doesn't pollute. Now you're talking about an economic system that doesn't have a hole in it. And now you're talking about the golden age.
You saw the movie Fuel, right? And the whole idea
of
how this, I mean, this whole idea of recession reveals resourcefulness, it gets us back to the basics. One of the things I've really been thinking about lately is when you see these labels on food and it says, you know, no preservatives, no antibiotics, where did we get to the point where the preservatives and the antibiotics became a staple of what we were eating?
Absolutely.
So that you have to put on the label that they're not there anymore.
Shelf life.
or you know, no longer has, you know, pesticides and hormones. What point did we get the pesticides and hormones at such a stable place that we weren't even labeling that they were in there?
Right.
I mean, I look at that all the time and I think it's so weird. I mean,
and you're paying more now for less.
Oh, wait. I love this one. I love this one, even though I don't eat it, but it says 100% real beef. At what point did it not become that? That you have to actually advertise that it is
right,
that.
It was like actually a high percentage of hormones.
What? Where did we go wrong?
You know,
I mean,
was
the curve?
This may be off the subject a little taste, but it's on because, you know, I was talking with the founder of Good Earth Restaurant.
Yeah,
we were having a conversation, and he was saying, you know, I was a part of the chicken holocaust back in the day because I helped start Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh.
With the Colonel. He was a friend of mine, and
we
built those restaurants.
He did?
Yeah, and he said that at some point as he lost control of the restaurant and began to sell out and franchise, et cetera, he had very little to do with the chicken, but they would bring the chicken to his test kitchen for him to test it. And one day they brought the chicken, and he bit it and spit it out. And he said, this stuff will kill you. Now, I'm cleaning up the language. He didn't say the word stuff.
Okay.
But he said, this stuff will kill you. The hormones in this chicken alone is going to mutate the chromosomes of the young men in the next generation. And he said to he said to my friend, you know, we're going to have to do something. So they start the Good Earth Restaurant as to mitigate their karma from doing KFC.
Oh, God.
And so the last days of the Colonel, he was a vegetarian.
You're kidding. I did not know that. I mean, I know
pretty much
that
he was into health food. He was trying to teach people, don't eat this stuff. It's not my original recipe. Mine was not really fried. It was Kentucky fried. It was range free, you know.
Wow. There's not even chicken in there anymore, I don't think. I think it's just all that stuff.
I have no idea.
I don't either. But I've heard stories about it. Anyway, so back to the basics, though, back to the 100%. You know, of what we're eating and what we're seeing here is that this is also what I see a lot around the recession is it's taking us back to living simpler.
Yeah.
And living back to the apple tree and the grass and what we can plant and grow and just simplifying and simplifying and simplifying and simplifying. I think this is almost if you look out 1,000 years from now back to now, you're going to see the age of simplification is what we were forced to do as a part of this recession and the lack of resources on our planet as well.
Yeah.
Look at that.
It's simplification. Changing our values, you know, coming back to what's really real and authentic, and also community, that people are starting to talk to each other again in their neighborhoods. And more community gardens are on the rise.
Where do we lose that?
Well, we lost that in the nightmare of the American dream. It was something that was sold and packaged that celebrity and Hollywood and richness and all of those things were why we were here. And so people went on to this consumerism and materialism, and people forgot that, and let me say this to you out there, you are not a consumer. That is, don't let anyone label you a consumer. You know, if you just think about the word consumer, it conjures up a picture of a monster. I'm just consuming, you know, we're consuming the rainforest. We're consuming the metals in the earth. We're consuming.
And then
we throw everything away in some big stockpile of garbage that
stacks up.
You know, we're creators. We're not consumers. And so people have been taught from the time they were in the crib to consume rather than to be creative. What is the first thing that goes out of the educational system? Art. You know?
Yeah.
And so we are artists. We are here to create profound art with our soul, loving, giving, sharing, expressing, not to consume. We are only to have what we need. And it can be beautiful. We don't take away beauty. We don't take away quality. But just quantity of stuff is not necessary. So we took the wrong pill. We went unconscious and fell into consumer land.
So do you think that this language that you and I speak right now is exclusive to, quote, our club, where we have people in the, you know, in the United States or even spiritual circles that sometimes see us as having conscious conversations and having profound awareness? But if you do look back, if you're, a 1,000 years from now looking back, is this conversation going to create critical mass? Is it going to create global change?
You asking me what
I
think?
I am.
Oh, absolutely. I right now, on planet Earth, the vibration has never been higher than it is today. With all the people on the planet, you know, 5-6 billion people, the percentage of people that are stopping time through meditation, prayer, affirmation, qigong, yoga,
gratitude
practices, generosity practices, that vibration has been lifted over the last 10 or 20 years. Doesn't deny the fact that there's some really terrible things happening on the planet. And we know about these terrible things because of our media now outstretches everywhere. However, the vibration has never been higher than it's been right now, which means that the possibility for great change is afoot. I mean, you think about a number of years ago, there weren't any child labor laws. A number of years ago, women, black people couldn't vote. A number of years ago, there were so many things on the planet that were just normal for that time that now we would be aghast at it. Oh, my God, they're working that, you know. So when we hear about child labor camps and slavery around the world now, it's still going on, but people, it hurts people's hearts when they hear about it. They want to do something about it.
Yeah, the awareness is up.
Uh-huh. You go back 50 years ago, it was just, that's just the way it was. Go to work. You know, you're 6 years old. You're in a factory all day. So there are things that have evolved and that are continuing to evolve. And they're evolving because people are pointing them out. There are people, that's their job to point out the negativity. Mm-hmm. They're evolving because there are people that are visionaries that see the next stage and can articulate that. It's evolving because there are people that are underground, like doing, building the buildings that the architecture is designing, you know, of the new society.
Yeah, that's true.
So if you ask me, if I fast forward, without being a pie in the sky airy fairy, you know, we make it and we evolve.
You have to live in that possibility anyway.
Well,
you really do.
I have to live there. Plus that's what I've seen in my vision.
Oh.
You know, I've seen it. Doesn't mean I haven't seen the desolate. You know, we're in the process of being in dissolution simultaneously with evolution. there's the dissolution, the tearing down of that which doesn't work. Mm. While at the same time, that which is the next stage of our evolution is unfolding in front of our eyes. And both are happening at the same time. It's called the high state of confusion.
Oh, critical or chaos theory, same thing, right?
Yeah, the old and the new are simultaneously.
And out of that, something arises and something, a new order appears.
Absolutely. That's already there within us. Just as the butterfly is within the caterpillar somewhere, you know, so this new order is already within the template of humanity.
It's in our DNA.
It's in us.
It's in the humanity DNA.
But we have to say yes to it. That's the caveat. The caterpillar, it doesn't have a choice.
Oh, true.
As spiritual beings having a human incarnation, we have to choose it.
So we have to choose the evolution.
We have to choose it, yes. It's not going to just happen, you know.
It has in the past. No,
nope.
It hasn't, has it? No.
Nope. It's always happened through a small group of people that chose it. Mm-hmm. They look like the outcast. They look like those on the cutting edge. They were, you know, you look at the great, you look like Magellan, you look at Galileo, you look at different people who were ostracized.
Right.
Had to take back their belief or unless they would be excommunicated or killed. You know, so there's always been a small group of people that said, this is a way. And then that small group of people affects the conversation. Then that conversation, and since the world is held together by the conversation changes, and then the world changes.
It gets bigger, the conversation gets bigger and bigger and bigger, right? So then people listening to this show right now, whatever it is that you are, when Michael Beckwith, by the way, is my guest, says, you know, follow your dream, follow your passion, if now you're understanding what that really means, because when you are following your dreams and your passion, it is like the Magellans. It's like the people who are creating massive change in this world. Go for it. I mean, really do that dream, do that passion.
We're here.
Fulfill it.
We're here to do that. You know, when Galileo spoke of, you know, the earth moving around the sun, you know, that was a whole shift of paradigm that he had to deny.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still the truth. And once that conversation got out, it changed everything, the way people looked at life. And the conversation that we're having and continues to be had by many of us about the power that's within us, greater than anything in the world, about the fact that we're vibrational beings and can unravel any circumstance that we're in, you know, this kind of conversation is spreading so that people are giving up victimhood and becoming extremely victorious over circumstances, over their past. And if any one person can do it, because I don't believe in Superman and special people, then anybody can do it.
Well, or if you're like my daughter, you believe in special powers.
Special powers that we all have.
Yes, yes. She uses, like, when the lights flicker on and off, she says, I did that with my mind.
Right. I say yes to that.
I love that. Okay, so one of the exciting things that's coming up for you is a PBS special. And tell me a little bit about it. It's called The Answer Is You.
Right. It's kind of what we're talking about a little bit. And what I'm going to basically teach and inspire around the fact that regardless of what's going on in our life, we have the answer within us. We literally and figuratively, metaphorically and mystically are the answer to any dilemma that's going on in our life. No one else has our answer. The world doesn't have to change one bit for us to live up to our highest potential. And so I want people to begin to understand that there are heart sets and mindsets that they can begin to cultivate that will allow their potential to actualize. And they can begin to demonstrate right livelihood, health, and prosperity as a starting point for the delivery of their gifts on this planet at this time in human history. So we're going to drill down into that twice, again supported by the Agape soundtrack.
Oh, that's going to be
Sound
nice.
Of Agape with the Ricky and the choir. And it's going to be powerful. And we want people to come out because, you know, Agape is such a rich, diverse spiritual community. And we want the world to see what that looks like. You know,
oh yeah,
I was in New York this past week, and I was at an open restaurant, the Zen Palette actually where it was, and we were sitting outside, some friends of mine, and a lady walks by and she recognizes me from Oprah and The Secret and all of that, and we get to talking, and Jesse and I, who I was having lunch with, he said he said, you know, when you go to Agape, it's like somebody did a casting call for diversity. You know, it's like, okay, you have Latinos, you have Asians, you have Koreans, you have people from Iraq, Iran, blacks, whites, you know, casting call for diverse nations.
That's funny. Right.
But in fact, it's real. It's authentic. It's not made up. It's not like, okay, we want an agape choir and we want two blacks over there and three whites over there and a couple of Asians and one in
the all denominations, by the way. You had a non-denominational casting call as well.
Right.
All denominations casting call, which is what I love about what you represent there at Agape is it is all inclusive.
And it's authentic. That's the way it happens.
And so are you. I mean, to sit here with me and to as much as you contribute to a PBS or public radio like you're on with me right now, you're doing this. It's just so great for you to, you know, to be here and to show up for this and for the entire PBS.
Well, hopefully it'll touch millions
of
people, and they'll begin to hear this message.
Yes.
They'll see what we look like.
Uh-huh.
And it will create a buzz and a conversation around the nation and around the world.
Has that been, I mean, for me, one of the biggest hurdles I've seen for Agape is to get that to the rest of the world, that intimate experience you get on that Sunday with you at the pulpit and you giving these incredible, inspiring messages. I want that to the world. And even people that I saw, I noticed you have an online community, and I want to talk about that. We have to take a quick break. We're going to talk about that when we come back, but you're going to hear the music on the way out is The Love Song by Ricky Byers Beckwith. Voice of Ricky Byers Beckwith, so soothing too, and the beautiful wife of Michael Bernard Beckwith, who is with me right now in studio. How's Ricky?
She's good. We brought her here on with the music.
Yes,
aspect.
Yes, that's beautiful. I love having her music on the show always. So, one of the things that Michael Beckwith is going to be talking about is the life visioning process. The life visioning process is something you talked about on The Secret, right?
Well, I didn't talk about the life visioning process on The Secret. The life visioning process is actually the next stage beyond visualization.
Okay.
Visualization is our entry-level way of manifesting and demonstrating the things we like to have in our life.
That's visualization?
Right.
Okay.
Life visioning is really making ourselves receptive to what wants to emerge on a soul level. So that's sometimes beyond our imagination, beyond our power to visualize.
How do you access that information?
Well, that's what the vision process is.
Okay.
See, basically, what people forget is oftentimes the things they're visualizing and the things they want, who gave them that idea that they wanted those things?
Mm.
Sometimes it's just part of the hypnotic spell that's come from the society in which you're living. You think you want a Mercedes or three houses or you think you want all this stuff. But where did that thought come from? doesn't necessarily come from your soul. Your soul wants to release life energy and in terms of creativity, right livelihood. It wants to be with like-minded individuals. It wants to not leave the planet until it delivers all of its gifts. So the life visioning process is not only about the harmonizing prosperity, health, ideal relationships.
Actual money, number, figure.
Money, yeah. It goes beyond that into what's trying to emerge in my life right now. What gift on a soul level is trying to be released? And we begin to ask those kind of questions. It not only takes care of our financial issues, but it takes care of our way of living so that every year we're not having to worry about our finances.
Right. It takes that out, that denominalizes that whole. So when you see these visualizations saying, take $100,000 and put it in a check to yourself and put it in your wallet and visualize that going into your bank account, why doesn't that work?
Well, there's a number of reasons. First of all, it can work. It works for many people, and it's a good start to help activate a law that's within you. But a lot of times it doesn't work. Well, I'll break down a couple of things.
Okay.
First of all, people don't know how to visualize. They're visualizing with their eyes. If I say visualize something, some people will close their eyes and start squinting and start seeing what they want. So that means they're visualizing with their senses. Visualization means you're seeing something with your mind's eye. So you would close your eyes. You would release the eyeballs, and you basically see something in your awareness. So if I say, Lisa, close your eyes and see an apple, but don't see it with your eyes, you're going to just notice that you could actually be aware of an apple in your awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So you would actually train yourself with your awareness to see an apple, to see yourself prosperous, to see yourself healthy. So one of the reasons why people can't manifest is because they're seeing it through their eyeballs. Secondly, they're still feeling like they don't have it. They're trying to make it happen.
Mm.
Whereas real visualization and real visioning makes it welcome because it's already happened. Just as the rose bush has already happened inside of the seed, it's already the possibility. You don't make a rose bush happen. You make it welcome by putting it into its right condition. So this inner spiritual work, we become the condition for the emergence of what's already happened in the mind of the universal one, in the mind of God, in the mind of love intelligence, whatever name you want to use. We begin to be aware that it's happening. We become the right condition, and then it shows up in this dimension. You see, the infinite possibilities are here.
When you open your eyes, though, they're not. Do you know what I mean by that?
Right, and that's why it's called a practice. That means when you open your eyes, you have the practice.
I don't want to negate what you just said because it was so beautiful, but I want to, I'm kind of...
No, you're speaking for everybody.
Yeah.
Who you need to ask these questions.
Yeah.
So when you open your eyes, you have to have a level of heart, what I call heart sets, like mindsets, heart sets and mindsets, in which you are being so grateful for what you have. You start looking around. Now, the surface mind is going to say, I don't have the rent for next month. The surface mind is going to say, my back is hurting. The surface mind is going to tell you, begin to list all the things that aren't working. So you have to go into your heart and ask, first of all, what good is present that I cannot see?
Mm.
Secondly,
that's a great one.
What good do I already have that I can see?
Yes.
So then what happens is you start thinking about those things. The first question activates your ability to see the invisible. What good is present that I presently cannot see? Your mind starts to go on a hunt. Oh, I didn't notice that beautiful flower over there. Oh, I didn't notice that whatever. Your mind starts to open up, cleaning away the filters. You start to see the good that is present in your life. Now you're getting into being and having the vibration of it. And then when you have that being and having vibration, along with your visioning or visualization, whatever you're working with, now it starts to show up. Why? Because there's a vibrational match. The universe isn't forcing anything on you. You've become it in vibration.
Can you ask for to see or for the to be grateful for the good that is not present yet?
Yes.
You can also?
Oh, absolutely. You're calling it forth.
Uh-huh.
Why is that? Because, you know, when you deal with the fact that, one, you are a holographic expression of everything that is. And when we talk about the universal one, the presence contains every beautiful thing. And all of that is here already. Some of it's visible, some of it's invisible. Just as the color red, there's infrared, you know, there's different kinds of reds. You can't see all the spectrum of red, you know, because some of it's invisible to your senses, but it's still here, okay? So the possibilities of good are here. You may not be able to see it because your vibration might not be high enough to see it.
Mm.
So when you begin doing your spiritual practice, you lift your vibration, you see the possibility, it shows up for you.
It's kind of like a radio wave, actually.
The there it is.
We're speaking on right now.
Right.
It shows up to the frequency that it's matched at the dial.
Right. If a person has static, it's probably not tuned in properly.
Mm-hmm. Or if they don't have a clear signal.
Or have a clear signal.
There's a lot of,
and there's a lot of static, worry, doubt, and fear. Are some of the biggest static makers.
And a little bit of media, too, because it really does layer on the static sometimes.
Right.
Sometimes
be
that
afraid.
Negative.
Be very afraid
this
of the swine flu. Take a vaccine that hasn't been tested, and you will be our experiment, and we'll see what happens in the next 10 years. You better take that
vaccine that hasn't been created yet, so that when it is created, you can have it.
Right, have it and get sick from it. Yes, do it, do it, do it. You are a consumer. You can't think for yourself.
Speaking of which, you still... I've got the rare form today. I like this. This is the beauty of public radio, right?
Hey, this is who I am.
Exactly. We can do this here. Mm-hmm. So the idea of the light visioning process is to get people... it's kind of like pushing the elevator button up from visualization. It's a little bit of a broader picture.
Yeah.
So when you do that, when you do the visualization, the visioning mm-hmm. process that you say, and you see something in your mind's eye, does it involve all five senses at once? I've had that experience.
It can.
You can see, touch, hear, feel it
Absolutely.
All at the same time.
It can, and it doesn't have to. Once you get an awareness of it and you learn how to articulate the vision as it's speaking to you and through you individually, you know, you ask yourself some basic questions in the visioning process. What do I have to become in order to manifest this vision? That's your basic primary question. And your mind will start telling you.
Give me an example of that.
I'll give you an example. Number of years ago when I was founding, I founded Agape on the life visioning process. That's how I started
it.
Oh,
wow.
I had a few people in my living room, and there was always the business types who wanted to do, the planning, the broadcast, the to-do lists. And I said, no, we're not going to do all of that.
Yeah.
We're going to become the thing first. And so I started the life visioning process, and the name of the community was Agape, which means love. And I'm going to hurry up and go through the story. Anyway, there's a question that says, what do you have to become in order to manifest this vision? So after we did visioning for a while and people began to talk about what they saw, I see this beautiful spiritual community. It has everybody's there. No one's left out. Tremendous music, tremendous healings. You know, it began to describe the way Agape looks today.
Mm.
You know, this was 24, 25 years ago. And then we would ask the question, what is it that you have to become for this to manifest? So there was one woman there who realized that she had to become more loving because she was afraid. She was so enamored with the small group and the loving intimacy we had as a small group, she didn't want anyone else to come and mess it up. And she became aware of that hidden thought.
Wow.
That she was trying to hold other people out. She wanted to keep Agape small because she loved the intimacy. And as soon as she heard the voice say, you're going to have to become more loving of new people, it was shocked her because this is one of the most loving people you'd ever want to meet. She's now a minister with her own spiritual community a number of years later in Oakland.
Wow.
And so what happens, what comes up is what you need to become in order for this dream to manifest.
Okay.
You see.
So it's not necessarily something you know ahead of time.
No.
As a result
and
of it.
This is
yeah.
the beautiful thing about visioning. It's engaging, you're activating your spiritual senses. So that you're learning how to see the invisible and hear the inaudible. And this is what we can do as a spiritual being. Whereas visualizing, you're using your senses. So it's the logical starting point in metaphysics, learning how to visualize. Very powerful modality. Visioning is the next level. You're engaging the senses at a subatomic level. You're engaging the senses and you're spiritualizing the senses. So that you're literally in the body able to see in your mind's eye something that's invisible, or hear something that's inaudible, feel something that's intangible.
And the beauty of the new sciences now that are out, the new biology, is that when you have these types of thoughts, it actually physically changes the function of the cell and
Absolutely.
Starts to regrow, reversing disease, reversing the normal aging process.
The answer is
so
you.
Forth.
Absolutely. And, yes. And as Bruce Lipton, you know, yes. Bruce Lipton and I, we're in an evolutionary leaders group together, so be sure to give him my love when you,
oh,
when you speak to him this afternoon.
Great.
You know, he teaches along with other evolutionary biologists, Elizabeth Sartoris, some other buddies of mine, when the condition is met, then the cells will replicate themselves perfectly. When the conditions are met, your soul will unfold. When the conditions are met, you will manifest the highest potential that's within your soul. Now, what we've thought about, or what we've been hypnotized into thinking, is that the external world creates the condition. No, you can go in your bedroom, close the door, and literally become the condition for your own success, and nothing has to change in the world. Not one thing, not one single thing has to change when you become the right condition.
Except you.
Except you.
Yeah.
Change you, you change your whole world.
Mm-hmm. And the whole, then it starts to emanate, and as you say, creates that environment. It's a spiritual environment around that occurring.
Right.
And that is what, I mean, it's also what Bruce talks about. And the thing about what Bruce explains is he explains how that makes an impact on your soul. But what people, the next step people look for after hearing Bruce speak or even seeing The Secret is, give me the practical tools of how to do that. And sometimes we need that, you know, and that's what the life visioning process is the practical tools.
Step by step, you know, I teach people the four stages of spiritual growth, development, and unfoldment, moving from a victim, moving into being able to manifest, moving to be a channel, and then moving to be the thing itself. I teach all along that, and then I put the visioning process in context with where we are in terms of our soul's evolution.
Now, that part you said about being a channel, I've noticed lately that, you know, I had this conversation with myself this morning. When I get a hit of something that, like, I had a specific thing that I knew needed to change, and this picture came into my mind, and I called my web guy, and I'm like, you know, you need to change this thing. And then I went on with what I was doing, and I was driving thinking, you don't have to sit and be in this zone of the channels coming through and the channeling and all that in order to get the guidance that you need.
No, that's
you can be on your way to the gym like I was, driving along, sitting at a stoplight going, oh, thank you, and then just called to make that. And that's how the channeling happens.
They're called aha moments.
Yes.
And what we want to do...
And you act on them.
Well, I like to say to the folks at Agape that we become the Wizard of Oz. That's you know, you have an aha moment. We become the Wizard of the ahas. And an aha moment makes you, in that moment, extemporal. You're out of time, and you have an insight. You have a revelation. You have a bit of guidance. Oh, my God, I got it. And then you act on it. But in that split second, you're not in time, because the answers never are in time, and you can't figure any problem out. Everything is... comes from outside of time, and eternity breaks into time.
Is there a difference between that and intuition?
No. Intuition is gut instinct, intuition. Those are colloquial ways of talking about being extemporal.
Having spiritual guidance?
Yes.
Do you think it is all spirit?
Yes, it's you. It's your higher self.
It is. Ah.
It's the presence.
The
See,
same thing.
Yeah. You become the Wizard of Oz.
No, that's beautiful. When you go about your day and your life and traveling all around the world, do you get a lot of that? Does your guidance guide you, essentially?
Oh, yeah. I get it in the bathtub a lot. Uh-huh. You know, when I'm meditating, I'm out in the backyard meditating, yeah. Or in my bedroom, wherever the case may be.
I love seeing spiritual liberation, because now I have the visuals of where you are. I got your kitchen and from the
right,
DVD.
Right, you can see me walk out. And now you see the backyard that I'm talking about.
I see
about.
The backyard. I see your space where you meditate.
I sit there. I face the east. And
anybody wants to check, I mean, it's a great DVD. Elevate did a great job on that. And
that's Mickey Willis. Yeah,
yeah, Mickey. And I see it's a day in the life of Michael Beckwith, which was it was a teaching for me by who you are being.
Right.
And that was a brilliant way of capturing a lesson in life of how to be.
Well, what we teach at Agape is a way of living, not just how to get what you think you want, but how to live your life And the byproduct of that is more than you can imagine flows into your life.
That is how you live. And I mean, I know, Mickey, and I know that you guys shot that in 4 days, and it was just, you know, it was exactly who you are being. There was nothing that needed to be written or even edited.
No, we didn't. It was nothing was rehearsed, nothing. Uh-uh. He just shot me.
Yeah.
And I came to the community, Agape, and shot the talk.
Yeah.
You know, all three services, and then edited them. We had the dinner at my house.
Yes.
And we shot that, and we were talking about the talk that happened that day.
Yes,
you know,
about
it,
Will.
Shot us, me and Ricky, walking the dogs and having a conversation.
I love that, yeah.
Me, you know, making the green shake.
Uh-huh. The green shake, all that. So it's all there.
So the teaching was just interwoven into a way of living. And so if people are listening in, we're talking about the DVD, Spiritual Liberation, which is different from my book, Spiritual Liberation. They're not the same thing.
That's right.
The book is actually 18 chapters
of teachings yeah.
and practices that people are loving. And then the DVD carries the teaching, but in a nonlinear way. Look at the DVD, and it cuts back from the future to the past, future to the past, and interweaves that.
That's right. They are different.
And that won an award, too.
It did. I noticed that.
Yeah, both of them did. The book won the gold in the Nautilus Award under the category of spirituality/religion. And that's a very rigorous.
Wow.
It goes through many channels. You have to have unanimous through all these particular channels to get gold from the storekeepers, teachers, you know.
My goodness. Congratulations.
And so I was like, I was pleasantly surprised because, you know, you don't write a book to get awards, but. Right. They called me up and said, your book won the Nautilus Award for 2009. I said, wow.
Did you even know you were nominated?
Somebody told me, but you kind of just
right.
let that go one in one ear and one out the other. And then the DVD won an award. I can't remember what that award is. I don't know if you have it here.
No, but I did read about it.
But it did. It won an award in some kind of category of inspiration and transformation. And that was a pleasant surprise for me and Mickey Willis.
Yes.
That the concept and the...
Congratulations to both of you.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a great accomplishment. Yeah. So there's the Spiritual Liberation book. There is also the DVD. There's the life visioning process that you do. There's the life liftoff cards. There's a lot of fun stuff that you... Are any of these going to be... Well, they're always at the Agape store.
The latest one is I don't know these titles of my own product.
Really? But I do. I have it somewhere.
Oh, do you have it? It's something
do.
About activating your soul's potential.
Oh, that's probably the page that I no, yeah, it is. Fulfilling Your Soul's Potential, book and DVD.
No.
That's
the book.
Okay.
No, I don't know what it's called.
Your Soul's
but
Evolution.
But I should know these things because...
Your Soul's Evolution. And then in that 40-day mind fast, Soul Feast, that's right. You did the 40-day fast as well at Agape, didn't you?
Well, that was a 7-day fruit juice
seven?
Fast.
Yes, Gina did that.
Yeah,
Producer Gina did that.
7-day juice fast.
Yeah.
But the other one I did a class over a course of days. And so that last product of activating your soul's potential, that's the whole class on CD.
Wow, that sounds phenomenal.
People are loving it because you get the teaching, you hear the questions, the answers.
And so you go
and then the practice.
And you also go through the visioning process.
Right. That's all in there.
That's all in there.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, you are endless with your gifts and with what your knowledge brings to us. And for people who are listening that receive those gifts for this last hour, I am very grateful.
We did an hour already?
Yeah. Do you believe that?
We have
like a minute left.
Well, you better end with Ricky.
Okay. We're going to end with Ricky. Definitely. And
about the grateful song.
Well, I am grateful for you, and I love you, and I thank you very much.
And I love you, and you look good.
Thank you.
You're shining. You're glowing.
Yeah, well, it's being around you. All right. This is Lisa Carr. And until tomorrow, I invite you to stay aware. That brings me life. Grateful to remember what's good.